Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Son, well, let's open up with prayer. Father, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, for your blessings, and for the blessing of the Holy Spirit that you have made available to us to work in and through us, to help us, to edify us, to help us to grow, to pray the perfect will of God. Lord, we're going to look at that today, and we ask that you be in this message. Take me out of it. Take me out of it. And let others see Jesus in your word and in the words I speak. And I thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, the title of this message is The Power of Praying in the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, in the King James Version, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." There are many words that can be translated power. Greek words that were used in writing the New Testament. And we've talked about one that means authority, exousia. We have talked about dunamis, which is like power in action, or the ability, power to do things. But this is a different Greek word in that verse. It's kratos, which means manifested power, especially of God, or dominion. How do we be strong in the Lord? How do we connect with him? Through Bible study, prayer, praise and worship, listening to good preaching and teaching, and praying in the Holy Spirit. Jesus introduced his disciples to the Holy Spirit and told them that he would come. Let's go to John chapter 14, look at verses 16 and 17 and verse 26. I'll be using the Amplified translation of the Bible this morning for the most part, but it's the 2015 edition, not the Amplified Classic. So if you have an Amplified Classic with you, it might read a little differently in places. It's not that I prefer one over the other, but this has large print. My Amplified Classic has very small print, so I get lost easy on the page. John chapter 14, beginning of verse 16. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you." And in verse 26 of the same chapter, "But the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will help you to remember everything that I have told you." This word helper in the Greek is parakletos. I think we've heard that before. It means one called to one's side, especially to one's aid, called alongside to help. And you've heard that it can be also, you could think of it as comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, or standby. Turn, if you would, a page or two to the right in your Bible to John chapter 16. We'll look at verse 7 first. Jesus is speaking. "But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you." And then verse 13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, full and complete truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father. The message regarding the Son and he will disclose to you what is to come in the future. Well, Jesus promises. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 4, 5, and 8. Well, and Jesus is talking to his disciples again after he has been resurrected. While being together and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, "You've heard me speak." And we just read some of those texts. "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized and empowered and united with the Holy Spirit not long from now." In verse 8, "But you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth." Now, here's power again, but it's the word dunamis in the original Greek, ability to do things, power in action. Turn over a page to Acts chapter 2. We'll look at the first four verses. And this is a description of how the promise that Jesus gave his disciples will fulfilled. "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like a rushing, violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were being distributed among them, and they rested on each one of them as each person received the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled, that is, diffused throughout their being with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, different languages, as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out clearly and appropriately." That's utterance. If you switch, go another page or so to your right, to Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Now, that created quite a stir when the Holy Spirit was given. And, you know, the bystanders thought, well, these people are drunk. And Peter saw his opportunity to enlighten them as to what was going on. So he stood up and told them. And, of course, they were filled with remorse. They repented and asked him, "What are we to do?" Verse 38, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent, change your old way of thinking, turn from your sinful ways, accept and follow Jesus as the Messiah, and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because of the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and your children, and for all who are far away, including the Gentiles, as many as the Lord our God calls to himself.'" The promise of the Holy Spirit for everyone in every generation. I may be mistaken, but I think most of us are in the generation, in the Gentile category, and certainly we are many generations away from that time, but it's still true. I want to take a look at a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and that is verse 16. "Do you not know and understand that you, the church, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells permanently in you, collectively and individually?" Ladies and gentlemen, these few passages of Scripture pretty well describe, I think, what the Holy Spirit is, how he comes, how we can receive that gift, and that it is for all people, and it is permanent. The Holy Spirit makes tremendous power available to us and through us as we pray in the Spirit or speak in our heavenly language or speak in tongues. So if I say speaking in heavenly language or in tongues or in the Holy Spirit, think of them as interchangeable terms. They all mean I'm speaking to the same thing. That power is certainly applicable in the arena of physical healing. How does that work? Well, we're in 1 Corinthians, so let's go over to chapter 14. And if you have a bookmark, you might want to drop it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It has much to say about the gift of tongues, speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit. And we'll be coming back to chapter 14 several times. How does that work? 1 Corinthians 14:4, the first part of that verse, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. To edify means to build up. Edification builds up our faith and thus our spiritual momentum and energy, just as exercise builds our muscles. Think of praying in the Spirit as spiritual muscle building. I mentioned spiritual momentum and spiritual energy, and I've talked about those here before and shared with you. So let's do a quick review, because some of you may not have heard that. In the physical world, things that are moving have momentum. Whether it's a car, or it's you or me, or it's a baseball, or whatever. And there's a way to quantify it. You measure, put a number on it, and that is you take the mass, or you can think of it as weight, of the object that's moving, and multiply it by the velocity or the speed at which it's moving. Mass times velocity equals momentum. In the spiritual realm, faith takes the place of mass, and speaking and acting on the Word of God, praising God, speaking in praying in the Spirit, take the place of movement. That's what's moving. Your lips are moving. Okay? So, spiritual momentum could be defined as faith multiplied by speaking and acting on the Word of God, praying and worshiping Him and giving Him thanks. Okay? Energy goes a little step further, but we use some of the same terms. In the physical, kinetic energy, that is energy of something moving, is quantified by multiplying the mass, you think of it as weight, of the object times one half and times the velocity or the speed at which it's moving to the second power, squared. It's an exponential relationship. Okay? So it goes up exponentially as you increase that movement, or speed it up. In the spiritual realm, I would call spiritual energy your faith multiplied by speaking and acting on the Word of God, praising and praying in the Spirit to the second power. It's exponential. Okay? Well, praying in tongues is an important part of building up your momentum and energy in the spiritual realm. Faith is a determining factor in receiving healing or anything else we ask from God. Praying in the Spirit strengthens our faith. It edifies. Remember, faith is one of those important factors in building our momentum and spiritual energy. There are some physical benefits to praying in tongues. Let's look at some of them. A brain specialist investigated the relationship between the brain and praying in the Spirit. He found these physical benefits to praying in tongues. When we pray in the Spirit, we actively stimulate the hypothalamus gland at the back of the brain. Hypothalamus gland. Well, if you put your hand in the back of your head where your neck joins your head, your hypothalamus gland is in there somewhere. Okay. Well, the hypothalamus gland is the brain of the endocrine system. It sends out various types of chemicals, messengers, to the endocrine system, including the pituitary gland, and I think the adrenal gland. It's the main gland involved in the fight or flight reaction. Let's say you're walking down the street in your neighborhood, and a big vicious sounding dog jumps out of behind a bush, growling, baring his teeth and coming at you. And you feel that surge of adrenaline. That's the fight or flight syndrome. You either got to get ready to fight that dog or outrun him. And the surge of adrenaline enables you to do that better than you would if you didn't have it. The hypothalamus governs body temperature, reproductive physiology and behavior, eating, drinking, digestive and metabolic activities. Sleep is regulated by the hypothalamus gland. It's responsible for the total immune system, the autonomic system, and the production of brain hormones called endorphins and enkephalins. which are pain-deadening agents, 100 to 200 times more powerful than morphine. When we pray in tongues, we are directly and indirectly stimulating a significant part of the body's central nervous system. When the brain releases large amounts of hormones, our body's immune system is increased or stimulated. So I think we should be nice to our hypothalamus gland, don't you? No, seriously, this is documented. A benefit of praying in tongues. Wow. More important are the spiritual benefits, and we're going to go through a bunch of them now, of praying in the Spirit, spiritual benefits. The first one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Guess what? We're right there. Verse 14. In the King James it says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." In the Amplified it reads, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive, because it doesn't understand what my spirit is praying." The West translation puts it this way, "My spirit," the human spirit, "is moved by the Holy Spirit, is praying." The New English Bible says, "My intellect lies fallow." That's probably a good thing. The basic translation reads, "For if I make use of tongues in my prayers, my spirit makes the prayer, but not my mind. My mind prays, my spirit prays, but my mind's unfruitful." The spirit makes the prayer, but not my mind. When we pray in tongues, our spirit's being strengthened, which is important to receive healing. Mark Hankins refers to praying in the speaking in the Holy Ghost, or praying in tongues, as God's head bypass operation. Bypass your head, get that out of the way, your intellect out of the way, pray spirit to God. His wife, Trina Hankins, I quote from her, "Divine healing is a spiritual power from God and is received spiritually. Therefore, it's important to be spiritually strong to receive healing. Strong faith is one of the keys to building your spiritual momentum and energy and in receiving healing and keeping it. Faith is key." So what are some of the spiritual benefits? Speaking in tongues edifies or builds up your inner man and your faith. Now we're going to look at a bunch of scriptures now to support each point. And the first one is found in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. "One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Promotes growth in spiritual wisdom, devotion, holiness, and joy." Jude spoke of it briefly. It's a brief book, so he didn't have much room to speak. Verse 20, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith, continually progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher, pray in the Holy Spirit." Build up your inner man and your faith. Okay, another point. Healing flows out of the rivers of living water in your spirit. If we go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 7, Jesus was at a feast, and he stood up the last day and said, "If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who adheres to, trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being will flow continually rivers of living water." The King James, I think says out of his belly, but that is means the same thing as your innermost man, your heart. When God was speaking to the prophet Jeremiah and in talking about Judah's apostasy, he said to Jeremiah, "They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water." Ezekiel speaks about this. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel 47. Let's see. Verses 8 and 9. Then he said to me, these waters, Ezekiel has seen a vision, and waters coming out of the temple and flowing off the temple mount. Then he said to me, these waters go out toward the eastern region and go down into the Arabah, the Jordan Valley. Then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the Dead Sea shall be healed and become fresh. It will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live, and there will be a very great number of fish because these waters go there so that the waters of the sea are healed and become fresh, so everything will live wherever the river goes. The King James, the New King James Version reads, and it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live, for they will be healed. They will be healed. Imagine the, and think about it, the rivers of living water coming out of your inner being, your spirit. Another spiritual benefit of praying in tongues. We receive power and boldness to speak the word. Speak the word about what? Well, obviously, salvation message, but also boldness to speak the word about healing, what the Bible has to say about healing. We'll go back to the first chapter of Acts. We read Acts 1, 8 to 4, but we're going to look at it again. You will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. We can take that message as it pertains to healing for our bodies, to Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth, can we not? But we got to be bold about it. The King James says, you shall receive power. Think of recharging a battery like the one in your cell phone. You have to plug it in, don't you? Well, when you plug it into the wall, what are you doing? You're connecting the wire from your cell phone to wires inside that receptacle. And where do they go? Well, they run through the walls of your house and go to the breaker panel, service panel. Well, where does that go? Well, there's a big wire leading from that out to the transformer pole outside your house or on the street. And then wires go from there all the way back to the power plant that generates the electricity. In order to be recharged and stay charged up, we've got to stay plugged in, or we've got to plug in frequently from time to time. Don't let your batteries go dead. So we plug in through the Holy Spirit to the Father. In Acts chapter 4, now remember, we're talking about boldness and power to speak the word about healing and about salvation. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were meeting together was shaken, a sign of God's presence, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness and courage. See, it's available to us. The Rotherham Second Edition translation of the Bible says, speaking the word of God with freedom of utterance. Speaking the word of God with freedom of utterance. I don't know about you, but it helps me to look at these different translations and get a better overall picture of what's being said. The Holy Spirit will help you take hold with you against your weakness. I don't know about you, but I've got strengths and weaknesses. We all have weaknesses and strengths. Well, let's look at some ways he helps us there. We'll go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we'll look at verses 26 to 28 in the Amplified. In the same way, the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should, but the Spirit Himself knows. Knows our need, at the right time intercedes on our behalf with signs and groanings too deep for words. King James uses infirmities instead of weakness. Well, it's the same word in the Greek, asthenia. It means literally lacking strength, weakness, or infirmity. It's interesting to me that it's translated infirmity 17 times in the New Testament and weakness 5 times. It's also translated diseases, and it's translated sickness. The Holy Spirit will help us in our sickness, disease, weakness, infirmity, however you want to phrase it. If you have disease, sickness, infirmity, or weakness attacking your body or mind, the Holy Spirit's available to help you. The Holy Spirit's our intercessor, strengthener, and helper. I'm reminded of a line from an old hymn. I oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. When we are tempted to accept a pain, sickness, or other snare of the enemy, remember that our Heavenly Father is available 24/7. He has no office hours and no appointment is needed. Our hour of prayer can be any time we need it. The Holy Spirit is available to help us anytime, anywhere. Another advantage or benefit of praying in the Spirit is that the Holy Spirit gives life to our bodies through the release of resurrection power. Romans, we're in Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. The word mortal means subject or liable to death. Well, that fits all of us, doesn't it? But there's a condition. There's an if on the front end of that verse. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. We need that Holy Spirit living in us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there is a promise, another promise. And it's 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14. And God has not only raised the Lord to life, but will also raise us up by His power. I don't know about you, but I like that promise. And I believe it. What do these two verses promise us if it's not healing? What do they promise us if it's not healing? It is healing. When we pray in the Spirit, our spirit is speaking directly to God and our mind is still. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to people, but to God. For no one understands him or catches his meaning. But by the Spirit he speaks mysteries, secret truths, hidden things. And then we look at verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive because it does not understand what my spirit is praying. But our spirit is praying directly to God. We put that brain of ours, that mind of ours in time out so it doesn't mess up things. Your spirit is also, when we're praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, thanking God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 17. You are giving thanks well enough in a way that God is glorified, but the other person who does not understand you is not edified and spiritually strengthened since he cannot join in your thanksgiving. But you can certainly give thanks. Notice that it helps you, but not others unless interpreted. Now, if we go a little further in this chapter to verses 26 through 28, what is the right course, believers? When you meet together, each one has a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, disclosure of special knowledge, a tongue or an interpretation. Let everything be constructive and edifying and be done for the good of all the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be limited to two or three at the most, two or at the most three, and each one speaking in turn, and one must interpret what is said. But if there's no one to interpret, the one who wishes to speak in a tongue must keep silent in church. Let him speak to himself and to God. And notice in verses 27 and 28, it infers or states that some people are interpreters. We see examples of that here from time to time in our Sunday morning or Wednesday night service. Pastor Debbie will give an exhortation in tongues, and Pastor Chris interprets. I was reading some of Kenneth Hagin's material on praying in the Spirit, and he got to the point at which, when he prayed in tongues, he could interpret some of his own prayers for his own edification, but he was not a public interpreter and did not do that in public, according to his writing. So it's possible to get to the point. I'm not at that point yet, but I look forward to it, to be able to interpret what I'm praying when I pray in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit fills us with God's love and helps us to stay in that love. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 5. I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures today, but they makes the point more eloquently than I. Romans 5, 5. Such hope in God's promises never disappoints us, because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I read you one verse from Jude. I'm going to go back and read that again and add one, and that is verse 20 and 21 of the book of Jude. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith. Continually progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher, pray in the Holy Spirit, and keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously and looking forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will bring you to eternal life. And one other place we're going to go now is Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verses 30 through 32. And here's a caution in the first few words. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but seek to please Him, by whom you were sealed and marked, branded as God's own, for the day of redemption, the final deliverance from the consequences of sin. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger and clamor, perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault-finding and slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice, all spitefulness, verbal abuse, malevolence. Be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you. That's how we stay in His love and stay in love with our fellow man. Put all these list of things aside. And when the Holy Spirit strengthens us, He'll help us to do just that. When we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit quickens us or makes alive the Word of God to us. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh conveys no benefit. It is of no account. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit and life, providing eternal life. Ephesians, I'm going to use Ephesians 6:17 from the Amplified Classic. It reads, "Take the sword of the Spirit, the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God." And in the King James, it says, you know, he's talking about the armor of God, "Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." But the Spirit wields the Word of God. It's another indication of what and how the Holy Spirit does for us. When we pray in the Spirit, He wields the Word of God on our behalf. The Holy Spirit brings perfect rest. If you're sick, if you're in pain, it's hard to get rest, isn't it? The Holy Spirit brings perfect rest. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 28. Verses 11 and 12. "Indeed, the Lord will teach this people in a more humiliating way by men with stammering lips and a foreign tongue." That sound familiar? He who said to them, "This is the place of quiet, give rest to the weary, and this is the resting place," yet they would not listen. The King James says, "This is the rest, this is the refreshing." The stammering lips and another tongue, or foreign tongue, depending on where you, what translation you look at. He will speak to this people. When we pray in tongues, we can unselfishly pray the will of God concerning our physical situation. Psalm 139, and I'm going to read it from the King James version. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought from afar. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." The Lord already knows our situation. "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Perfect communication from our spirit to God through our tongue or through our mouth when we pray in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 27 touches on this as well. Romans 8, 27. "And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes before God on behalf of God's people in accordance with God's will." Praying in the Spirit may not be easy at first, because you're new to it, or it's new to you. It may seem awkward. You may not feel anything special or emotionally. Don't be discouraged. I grew up in a denominational church from the time I was a little kid till I was in my 30s, and then went to a different denomination for another 20 years approximately. There was no teaching about speaking in tongues or praying in the Holy Spirit in any of those places. So I came into contact with this teaching. I mean, I read the Bible, I'd read some of these verses. It didn't mean much, and it was certainly not emphasized. And I'm not putting any denomination or minister down, but I didn't know what I was missing. And Helen met somebody and began going to a small Pentecostal church. And eventually, I went along, digging in my fingernails and my heels, and was introduced to a very different part of the gospel, let's put it that way. But it took hold. And I thought, you know, I don't want to be a holy roller, but I feel something here. And the first time I was ever slain in the Spirit when somebody prayed, laid hands on me, and I fell out in the floor, I cried like a baby. And it was an experience I'd never had before. It was powerful. It was about 20 years ago, give or take. And so I learned to speak in tongues, pray in the Spirit, And as life has gone on, I pray more in the Spirit than I did initially. And it is of great benefit. So don't be afraid of it. Don't be hesitant. Jump in. You'll never regret it. Remember, Mark Hankins calls praying in the Spirit God's head bypass operation. And I needed that. And it worked. Have you ever had a part of your body x-rayed? Yeah, I see a lot of nodding here. Did you feel anything? No, I have. Never felt a thing just to hear that little camera go, and that's it. But it's working. Works the same way with the Holy Spirit. You may not feel anything, but it's working. Don't reason yourself out of your healing miracle. Release your faith with an act. Praying in the Spirit will help you to receive what God has already done and made available to you. You may not feel anything, but it's working spiritually. If a Christmas card is sent to you from a friend, there are several possibilities. You may receive it in your mailbox. If the address is incorrect, it may be returned to sender. If the address is incorrect and the sender didn't put a return address on it, it might wind up in a dead letter box, right? Our mailbox is our prayer closet. The card sent to us is healing. That's been appropriated for us. We can receive it and enjoy it. But if our address is unknown, we may not get it. It may wind up in a dead letter box. We don't want that to happen. Be spiritually connected. We have to have spiritual strength in order to transmit and receive from God. If you still have a telephone, a landline telephone, that's got to be connected to the wire, just like the electric service to your house. It's got to be connected in order to receive a phone call or make one, in order to speak to God through our spirit. We've got to remain connected. And we don't want any static on the line. So get rid of the distractions and put your mind in time out. Unlike cell phone services, there are no dead spots when praying in the Spirit. We can connect with our healer behind the tallest mountain, in the deepest valley, in the middle of the ocean, in a closet, or in a car, in the hospital, or in jail, wherever. Hopefully we're not trying to connect from the hospital or the jail, but there is no hindrance to doing so if that's where you wind up. We're never out of range, but we can stay connected. When you meditate on healing scriptures, the Holy Spirit will assist you if you allow Him. Meditate on them. He'll prompt you at the right moment. He'll help you to lay hold upon the spoken word of God. And this can make the difference between whether we receive healing or not. If you don't lay hold on a word to increase and strengthen your faith, and faith is key, it may not work for you. Remember, the Holy Spirit is our comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, and standby. Smith Wigglesworth once said, "Our only safeguard from dropping back into our natural mind, with which we can receive nothing from God, is being filled and filled again with the Holy Spirit." Let's go back to our old stomping ground, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I would encourage you to read that whole chapter for homework as you have time. Chapter 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. "Then what am I to do? I will pray with the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit that's within me. And I will pray with the mind using words I understand. I will sing with the Spirit by the Holy Spirit that's within me. And I will sing with the mind using words I understand. Sing with the mind. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, stupidity, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Sing. Sing in the Spirit. How many of you sing in the Spirit? You don't have to raise your hand, but you can. That's fine. Surprise, I do too. I'm not going to put your ears to the test, but I find when I'm driving alone in the car, pickup, going somewhere, it becomes easier and easier to pray and sing in the Spirit. And it makes the time pass. And my mind is still watching the road, making turn signals, using the brakes and the accelerators appropriate, and so watching for things running, cars and other obstacles getting in the way and not getting lost. My mind can do that. But I don't have to, almost don't have to think about driving, but you do. You have to pay attention. But that I can pray or sing in the Spirit uninhibited. Uninhibited. And you know, you might try that. You might. Okay. Let's stand to our feet. I hope this morning you have seen from the Scriptures the power of praying in the Spirit and how it can help us in when we need healing, when we need to help someone else with healing. And I want you to, let's make a confession together. Repeat after me. I am strong in the Lord, and in the power of His might. I'm strengthened with power by His Spirit in my inner man. Therefore, with my spirit that's in union with Christ, I can conquer sickness in my body. I can conquer pain in my body. I can conquer disease in my body. I will overcome because my hope is steadfast in Christ, who is my rock. You believe that?
Yes.
Thank Him for it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for making the Holy Spirit available to each of us. We thank You for the help, the counsel, the strengthening that He brings to us. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word that explains these things to us. Lord, we ask that You grant us, according to the riches of Your glory, to be strengthened with might by Your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, with everything You have for us, Lord. Now to Him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. If anyone is here this morning and you would like to have prayer and have hands laid on you as a point of contact to release your faith, just come on down front and line up along this first row of seats, and we'll We'll be happy to pray for you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.